This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Siddesh Raut and you're tuned in to another episode of Setting Sail. This week we have with us Lucas Bienke, co-founder and CEO of Namaste Credit, which is a credit lending startup with a focus on the small and medium enterprises space. Welcome to the show, Lucas.
Thanks. It's great to be here, Siddesh.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. So before we get right into it, could you just tell me a bit more about yourself and how did you come across to found Namaste Credit?
Sure, absolutely. So I'm actually Italian by background, but I grew up in the States and built a career in the U.S. on Wall Street. And as part of that, met the co-founder of Namaste Credit, Gaurav Anand. We were both working at Moody's right before this. I had actually built a company up called Copal Partners, which we had sold to Moody's for about $500 million in 2014. And so post that, we're looking to start up something interesting in the credit space in a big market. And so India was an ideal place, especially a tech-driven startup in the credit space. So the idea was really that we understood credit very well. SMEs were a particular group that required a deep understanding of credit to bring some real strong technology to bear in the process of finding these SMEs, of evaluating them, and getting them loans.
Okay. And could you just elaborate a bit more on what exactly makes India an exciting space for the credit lending sector with reference to the with the small and medium enterprises?
Absolutely. I think there are two or three things. One, it's just a very large market, right? Mm-hmm. Many people talk about 50 to 60 million SMEs in the country that you know, would require credit funding, of which only perhaps 3 to 5 million have gotten it to date in any form. There's a lot of white space throughout India. Beyond that, the market is already very large in that almost half of all credit outstanding in India goes to SMEs from banks and NBFCs. So that amounts to some $500 billion. So very first thing is large market. Second thing is, you know, today there are a lot of lenders in the market, starting with the traditional PSU banks, going on to the private banks, the MNC banks, and now a lot of NBFCs as well, both kind of housing finance companies, as well as newer players that are doing unsecured business loans, etc. I think the market is, relatively competitive and deep, richness of products perspective, you know, it's very opaque. So while there are many players, the borrowers in the market don't really know whom to go to, where they can get the best deal. And, you know, there's just a lot of, you know, difficulty in matching the right borrower and right lender. Right. So that's where our origination platform comes in and really helps the process of identifying the best lender for each borrower and vice versa for each lender. You know, they're often looking at target segments that they want to go after and provide more credit to. Having English language be the business language of the country is also very helpful, right? Because when you're developing a technology and you want to leverage that across big numbers. And so it's one of the countries that, you know, has a common language, which is used across the country, even though, verbally, you know, various languages are spoken. If you look at the financials, if you look at the banking statements, et cetera, it's all English language. So that makes it, somewhat homogeneous in a very heterogeneous environment.
So I have a scenario for you, basically. I am a SME owner. I am an owner of an SME, and I'm looking for cheap and quick credit. From that as a starting point, I wanted to know what would be the hurdles that I would be facing as a owner of an SME to get this cheap and quick credit, and what are the hurdles faced by the people on the other side, the lending sector overall?
Yeah, I think as the SME owner, the main hurdles that you face are this opaqueness in the market and not knowing whom to go to get this cheap and quick credit, right? So you presumably have a bank account. Your bank account might be with a PSU bank, it might be with a domestic private bank, etc. And so your first instinct is, hey, let me go back to my bank where you know, I just have a regular current account, I'm doing my business, I'll ask them for a loan, right? Seems to be the most direct approach and easiest. The problem with that is the policies of the bank that you bank with are unknown to you. And, you know, in all probability, you don't necessarily qualify for a loan with that institution. Because, again, coming back to the institution side, institutions have policies because they want to create a diverse loan book, because they want to have, you know, kind of control on the risk they're taking. And so they then require several different things. From the banking side, they're often looking for a lot of information, a lot of documentation. And that's your challenge, but it's also the lender's challenge. They set it up this way, and so, you know, they have to execute on it. And it's a problem for them. They, you know, it takes them a lot of time and effort to collect all this information from folks like you, the SME. So these are kind of two of the major problems.
And you had mentioned earlier that there's just a lot of players in such a vast credit lending space. And how would a startup like yourself, like Namaste Credit, would differentiate themselves in such a space and, you know, maybe try to address some of these challenges?
Yeah, I think we've done a couple different things. One is, again, bring technology to bear throughout the process. And by that, I mean, we do a couple different things. One is we help the borrowers actually collect this data and information that the lenders require in a digital format. Tools on the front end, our mobile app, that allow you to capture your data more easily. We have a matching algorithm, and the matching algorithm puts you, the borrower, in contact with the lenders that are actually applicable to you based on the financials that you've given to us, because we look through the financials, we do the analysis, and then we match you correctly with only the lenders that, you know, are, let's say, above 50% likely to give you a loan. So that's the second thing. The third thing is we have a lot of lenders that we're engaged with. So instead of going to one lender, you're actually going to 10 at once, say. So, you know, that really gives you a lot of lenders on one platform. Okay. So those are a few of the things that we bring to bear as such. The last thing is, you know, as a larger corporate player, we aggregate a lot of volume, right? So when we go to lenders and engage with them, they also, you know, take the time and interest in working with us. It's not just one single player coming to them. Oh, I have one loan requirement. Can you provide this particular credit to my client or to myself? We, you know, we provide them dozens or hundreds or even thousands per month. So again, that brings an extra bit of focus to the issue.
So what I've gauged from all of this, just like over the fly, is that ultimately this space is also a balancing act in one way or the other for both ends, right? Because you'd want to give as much as credit as possible to maximize the gains for the lenders. But at the end of the day, there's also the question of default and, you know, people not just paying or, you know, getting late on their payments for their credit that has been supplied to them. So could you just let me know a bit more about how would a person like Namaste Credit try to address this using the technology that's been provided?
So kind of coming back to the way that we actually match the borrowers and lenders, go through the financials in quite a bit of detail, and we create what's called a CAM report, a credit assessment memo.
I see.
Credit assessment memo enables us to basically score each potential borrower fairly accurately. And so let's say, because there's a wide variety of different lenders, NPA is an issue for lenders in general, but some lenders might be more risk averse and other lenders more willing to take some risks, let's say. What we actually do is ensure that the ones who are risk averse and don't want any NPAs are only given potential borrowers that are of the highest credit standards, right? Vice versa, maybe others that are willing to perhaps take a little bit more risk, charge slightly higher interest, but they know, you know, that'll be paid off, right? In terms of they're getting more interest, there might be slightly higher NPAs. We're able to do that analysis and matching you know, much better than anybody else because we're actually doing the analysis. Most people aren't even actually doing the analysis. So that's the way that we solve it. And one other element here, which is we're in the process of developing a servicing tool, which is in beta with a couple of our NBFC clients, which helps the collection to be done in a more automated fashion and then simply waiting to the end of the month and kind of hoping that the borrower has the correct EMI amount, on that date. So we're developing a tool that actually breaks down that payment cycle into smaller chunks and makes it more manageable for an SME in particular whose cash flows are quite variable day to day and week to week. We do one thing now. We, you know, are always looking at continuously improving the business and helping, again, both the borrowers as well as the lenders ensuring that everybody is happy at the end of the day.
Would it be sufficient to say that if a person, if a borrower, an SME person has been using your platform for a long time to avail credit, would that in turn then just create a sort of credit history with the person as well?
So we certainly have multiple clients that have come back for many different loans over time. They have a credit history of the, you know, let's say the initial loan, which was taken and then repaid over time. In a sense, that's also an interesting or you know, positive aspect of the SME market in particular, that SMEs require many different types of loans over a period of time. So it's not that they just require one loan today and done. No, they, you know, they'll require a working capital loan today, a machinery loan tomorrow, against property the next day. You know, so a number of different loans for different requirements. There's always opportunities coming up that they'd like to address, etc.
All right. So there was this other thing that had happened in November. The Prime Minister had announced that the government would be offering credit of up to 1 crore in about 59 minutes. They had released this in November 2018 around. What would be a business strategy to perhaps differentiate yourself in that aspect?
Yeah, you know, the Indian market is very large. And I think there's actually plenty of room for many different players. The PSB loans in 59 minutes is a great initiative by the government, which is being implemented through the PSU banks, right? And so I think, you know, that's something that was really a great initiative. We're happy about it and support it. You know, we don't participate in it today, but that's not to say we won't at some point down the road. I think we have a lot of good technology that can be brought to bear in this regard as well. I think so far we've discussed largely our origination platform and how it works. The other element of our business is an underwriting platform, which, and so, you know, we've already licensed that to some of the biggest lenders in the country, and eventually some of these PSU banks will also be interested in licensing pieces of it. So again, I think the market is very large. There's plenty of expansion in all directions. You know, PSB loans in 59 minutes has been a great initiative as it, you know, grows and develops. I think there will be many opportunities for various people around, push the other private players to perhaps be a little bit more responsive on the tats, etc., which again, I think is at the end of the day good for borrowers.
So when did you start this company again?
We started end of 2014, kind of got it going in early 15.
How's your experience been like so far starting up in India?
Yeah, it's been great. You know, from literally myself and Gaurav co-founding the business, and, you know, we were still in New York when we came up with the idea and the name and kind of started putting together the pieces. Now we have a team of over 250 people across 15 different locations, you know, in many different cities in India, from some smaller ones to the large metros. And so, you know, building that literally from the ground up, initially with our own funds and then getting some seed funding, eventually getting venture funded by Nexus Partners last year, it's been a great experience. I think India is a new country for me, relatively. The previous business I was involved in had a connection to India in that we did financial research outsourcing to India, but I haven't lived in India before, and you know, I've been happy doing this and building the business, hasn't always been easy for sure, but it's been a great ride, amazing learning experience, and certainly something that I wouldn't give back or give away at all. Everybody should actually look to found a business at some point. It's in their own backyard or somewhere else. I think India's been a great place in that. It's also somewhat forgiving at times, right? Make mistakes and people understand. So we've made mistakes. We of course corrected, and it's made the business stronger over time. So I think we've gone through several cycles. Now we're on an upswing.
Great. And that just brings me up to your plans for the future. What's up ahead for Namaste Credit on the horizon then?
Yeah, I think several different things. Just in terms of the origination business in India, we're really still at the start of it. So, the growth there has been, like I mentioned, significant over the past year. We expect it to continue over the next year. We've grown somewhere between 3 and 5 times over the past year, depending on what metrics you look at, et cetera. And over the next year, we expect the same. And we expect the same the year after that. Because, largely we've identified a product market fit, and now we're kind of throwing fuel on the fire, so to speak. The market is just very big. So at the moment, we're still scratching the surface, and we have a long way to go. So that's kind of the immediate plans on the marketplace side, on the origination side. Mm-hmm. On licensing side, I think that's a newer business for us. It's starting to ramp and take off in India, as I mentioned.
Could you elaborate what would the licensing business be about?
Yeah, so basically our platform, being a technology platform, is licensed by the lenders in order to underwrite their loans, say, in a faster and better manner. Again, some of the large banks are doing this for their mortgage underwriting, and we also have several NBFCs doing this for their business loans as well as loan against property. Effectively, this is a newer business for us. We've really only started it in the past year, but it's taking off because of the clear business benefits for the lenders and the scale that these guys have, right? You work with somebody like an HDFC or ICICI or any of the large banks, they have significant volumes, right? We're talking hundreds of thousands of applications a month. So in any process that involves, lacks of applications, then volumes start to ramp very quickly. So that's in process right now. We're in process of scaling several different relationships on that side. I'd say over the medium term horizon, we're talking a year or so out, we plan to also expand globally. Some of our technology is really applicable in any kind of SME loan evaluation.
And what would be the potential countries would you be looking at if you are thinking of doing this in the future?
Yeah, I think the initial ones will be English-speaking, perhaps Singapore, the Middle East, to the extent that some of their documents are English, England, or UK, US, Australia, New Zealand. So English-speaking areas first. I think our system has been well set up to be able to digest and process English language data, and so that will be the first step. But I think it won't be restricted to that. There, as we gain more global exposure and intelligence in the system, we can certainly go to other countries as well. We've started to establish some, connects in Latin America. We feel that this can be ported there as well. And that's kind of a 6 to 12 month time frame rather than a 3 to 6 or 9 month time frame.
I see. You had mentioned just a while when I was asking about the experience in India so far, you said that the business environment here is a bit more forgiving. Could you just elaborate more on that? I didn't really get that.
Yeah, I guess my experience has been when you start to do something with a client and you try something out, if it doesn't work out the first time, they kind of are more understanding than perhaps I've experienced in the U.S., right? And they'll give you a second chance, right? In the U.S., if you try something and it doesn't work out, people won't really give you a second chance, as a vendor, let's say. And, my experience here has been a little bit the opposite in that regard. So just from maybe it has to do with expectations, when people coming out with something new, there's an understanding that there may be some hiccups etc. Now, that doesn't always happen. Sometimes it works out, you know, perfectly well from day one, and mm-hmm. you know, everybody's happy. But sometimes it doesn't work that way, and there's some snafu for this or that. Yeah, I think, you know, I guess I see that in many different regards. And
yeah, I mean, that is very interesting because we don't really get to hear this a lot, you know, especially for someone who is across two cultures. So, all right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Lucas. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, yeah. Sudesh. It's great to speak with you.
That's a wrap on this podcast. For listeners who are interested in handing over their comments or their valuable feedback, you can do so at mcpodcast@nw18.com. That's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views, and updates, do log in to Money Control. Thank you for tuning in.